and so I did it ever going home. Satan handed over to me, and I handed it back to him. And he handed it back to me, and I handed it to him. So I kept on that way, and sometimes you go to dedicated church, and then finally, I got away from it, and went on to dedicated church.
Thank God.
Standing up on this box this afternoon, that takes me back to how Mama used to put me on a box to wash the dishes. Well, I hope it is the same thing this afternoon. So the Lord bless. A few announcements. An announcement I had to make in Houston the other day. I was given a little paper here that said that please announce that Brother Van Hoon, will be in Phoenix, Arizona, February the 27th and March the 5th. Keep that in mind. And now, I think tomorrow night that Brother Oral Roberts is to speak here in perhaps this same auditorium, the Van Hoon. And Brother Oral is certainly a masterpiece of God's in the pulpit. Wonderful man of God, man of faith. I'm sure it'll do you good to come out here, Brother Robert, tomorrow night. And then the breakfast in the morning and so forth, as many as already I've seen sitting behind the curtain have got their tickets and so forth. That's fine. But we're always glad to be in the condition. I know you have something coming off in a few minutes, or just maybe after you get through speaking, sometimes a meeting. I'll cut my words as short as possible. One thing being a little hoarse, next thing you waste your time, and you've already been for over 2 hours. I know you're tired. Now, tomorrow, or next Sunday, the Lord willing, next Sunday evening, February the 5th, next Sunday evening, at the Assemblies of God in Tucson, we'll be praying for the state. Next Sunday evening, beginning at 7:30 at Tucson, Arizona. And then we travel down on to the west coast to the down to Los Angeles, Long Beach, I believe it is, and then up around Bakersfield for the next service and going on evening. I hope that it's God's will that I can be in service the same time this man is there. And also, the Jerusalem. I'd like to go to Jerusalem once and see the land where our Lord has been. I want to greet so many of my fine friends in this area. See Brother Baxton, Brother Rose, and so many around here. Take quite a time to call their names. Standing there a few moments ago to see little Brother Smith must throw his arms around him. What a wonderful time of fellowship. Now, as he read the scriptures, I'd like to take for a text, if we call that, out of the third verse of the second chapter of Deuteronomy. Ye have compassed this mountain long enough. Turn you northward. I'd like to speak on the subject of turning you northward. It would be hard for Israel to think that the promised land was 40 years away when they were standing on the other side of the Red Sea, dancing, shouting, rejoicing, when they were only nearly just a few days from it. It is for just a very short time, I think, with an automobile, you can probably drive an hour and a half, from walking, maybe 2 days, 3 or 4, something like that, easy, you can just go on to the promised land. And they were thinking that they were almost there. And they were having a great jubilee of shouting and praising God and seeing what God had did for them. And how it's been hard to make them believe that they were 40 years away from that promise, the full promise of God that is promised. Grace had provided them a great thing. Grace had provided them a Passover lamb. Grace had provided them a prophet. And grace had provided them an angel. The Passover lamb was for their sin. Their prophet was their instructor. The angel was their guide. Grace had provided everything for them. But in spite of all all of that, they were alone. And this grace had provided them an escape out of Egypt before they had any law. That grace had provided them one of the greatest revivals that they'd ever had. In this revival, they had seen great powers of God. In this revival, they had seen sunshine while the rest of the world was in darkness. In this revival, they had seen the mighty hand of God deliver the innocent people, bringing them from bondage into liberty. And in this revival, after they crossed over the Red Sea, they found all their enemies dead in the Red Sea behind them. Why was they able to add anything to that? They stand just about like our Pentecostal fathers did about 40 years ago or so. After we had seen the same thing that they had seen, one of the mightiest revivals that the church ever had, being divine healing, the people brought out of bondage, being bound by fetters of denominations and so forth, been brought out into a freedom. Grace had provided them everything they had need of. An angel of God to lead them. Prophet. Great man. I heard them say the other day that Azusa Street meeting, when they had it over here in California, that they thought it was a disgrace when they ever introduced songbooks to the church. They sang in the Spirit. Just as the Spirit gave them utterance, they sang. They danced in the Spirit. They had a great time, and it accepted the Word of God and sanctification to separate them from their sins, and they know they'd pass from death unto life. What a revival they were having of some 40 years ago. But as Israel did, so did our fathers. Make a fatal mistake. One thing that's held them in the wilderness another 40 years. To find out that instead of being satisfied with what they had and what God had done for them, and seeing the works of His hand, the fruit of grace, providing everything they had need of, even to so much as they didn't have to have a songbook. I wish I could have seen that in them days. But Israel, after all those things, Israel in the natural, this is Israel in the spiritual. Just as God was taking His people to a promised land in the natural, He's taking His church to a promised land in the spiritual. And they was on their road, having a great time, but yet they, after grace had provided everything that they had need of, yet they wanted something to do themselves. Something they could show God they had something to do into it. And that's what the church, when it gets in that condition, it's always when they lose out. As when you try, or I try, or any man tries to put his hand on the Word of God, to add something to it or take something away from it. We must leave it just the way that God provides it for us. Just let the revival move on as the Spirit moves on. These people are only 8 or 10 days away from the full promise of God if they would have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
These people in this day, our fathers, were just a few days away from the fullness of God's promise if they just went ahead and followed the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we had to do something like they did. The most fatal mistake that Israel ever made was Exodus 19. After grace had provided them all these things and had given them a revival, they still required a law. So they could have schools, theological, trained ministers, and, well, just be like the rest of people. Something they could fuss about. Something they could separate one another. Break up a fellowship, a brotherhood. We believe this and we believe that. If they just let it go on the way God had it going, it would have been all right. But we always try to put our ideas in it. That when we inject our ideas, when we inject our theology into God's Spirit and take God's Spirit away, that's the way it was in that day. They were on the road, but they wanted something they could do themselves. Through their fussing and through their hang on, they found out then that they drove the Spirit of God away from them. It was a great mistake. It was a great mistake And we have the same name, our Father. When the Holy Spirit first fell in the Azusa Street and many of the parts of the world, if we would just let it go on, leading of the Spirit, keep the world out, go on and let the Holy Spirit lead, we'd have done it in the promised land. But we've been 40-something years away from it, just as they did. So have we. Something came into the church, another issue, and we wanted to denominate ourselves instead of just going ahead loving the brethren going on. Well, why not leave it alone? Every plant that my Heavenly Father has in plant will be rooted up anyhow. So what good does it do us to draw some of denominational barriers to keep the other fellow out? We only sense up something. I heard a little story going something like this, that maybe it is appropriate to say in a pulpit over a spirit-filled bunch of people as I have the privilege of speaking to you. But said two monkeys were sitting in the tree, looking at each other, and looked down and seen the poor human beings. And they said, aren't they visible? And they say that they came from us. That's mistaken. Never would I ever fence up my coconut tree to keep my brother monkey from not eating the same coconut as I eat. That's human beings. The church has always been that way. One time, when Israel wanted to act like the rest of the nation, they wanted a king. They wanted Samuel to give them a king. Well, Samuel told them that this won't work. God is your king.
Yes.
Just let God be your king.
Yes.
But they wanted the king because they wanted to act like the rest of the nation. They wanted to act like the Philistines and the rest of the nation. Pattern act in the world instead of letting God be their king.
Hallelujah.
Samuel told him.
Thank you, Jesus.
God said to Samuel, your faithful old prophet, called Israel up and said, have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord or what comes to pass? Have I ever told you anything in the name of the Lord that did not come to pass? Have I ever begged you for your money or taken anything away from you? No, you have not begged our money, said Israel. Neither have you told us anything in the name of the Lord that did not come to pass, but still, we want a king anyhow. See, man wants to do something himself. He wants to show his authority. He wants to show how big he is or how much different he can be from somebody else, from the rest of the people. That's when God goes out of the nature. Just exactly. Now, as Israel was, always has been, just as it was then, there was a mixed multitude. Some of them wanted one thing, some wanted another. That's the way we get it today, and usually, the one on the other side is the one that we just went. It's the same way at the Nicene Council, when our churches are set up. One wanted one thing and one another. The little Pentecostal group was pushed on the outside. The organization took it over. And the teams of the Nicolaitans became a doctrine at the Nicene Council. They formed their own things, put up their own man, taking all the Nicol, as I said the other day, means conqueror. Nicolaitan means to conquer the lady and put all the holiness in the man. Do as you want to and pay the money into the church and let the man do the forgiveness of sins. Let him be your friend and so forth. That's not God's will. God's will gets out enough to lay it to everybody. You're an individual. God dealt with Israel as a nation. You and I, as individuals, we try to answer before God for our sins. And we see that mixed multitude. Well, this is two sons of Isaac and Rebekah represent the world over. Every time there's a revival, there's twins born. Every time we have a revival, twins are born. Esau and Jacob are twins. One of them was a man after the world. The other was spiritual. Now, Esau, just as good a man as Jacob was, if you looked at him, he liked to take care of his old blind father, which was the prophet. He was a good boy. Morally, I guess, all right. But, and he helped work, and perhaps Jacob was just a little mama's boy. Hung around the mama, and just, we call a little sister. And so, Esau was loved. A man of the world, natural, never cared us about the birthright. But the Jacob, it didn't make any difference how he got it. There was only one thing he had in his mind, that was the birthright.
Yeah.
No matter what anything else or how he got it, that's the way it is with the spiritual born churches. When the Catholic Church had a revival, when Luther had a revival, when Wesley had a revival, Knox, Calvin, all down through the ages, it's produced twins. And when Pentecost had a revival, it produced twins. When Moses had a revival down in Egypt, it produced twins. A mixed multitude. One to the world, it wants to act like the world, be like the world, and pattern their message with the world. The others don't care about what the world says, how classic it looks, or how unclassic it looks. They got one thing in common, that's hold on to the birthright.
Yeah.
Keep a hold of God.
Hallelujah.
Just the way it's always been. That's the way it is up today, my friend.
Yeah.
Hold on to the birthright. Jacob, he says, make them difference how much they call him a sissy, how much, what he, how he got it. Just so we need God. That's the way it is today. Makes no difference. The people who are spiritual. Now, many times the churches are compromising. They get so, you just shake hands with the preacher. As David did with the well preached it not long ago, that God don't have any grandchildren. That is true. Our Pentecostal churches are bringing in their young ones, place them up on the seat, and put them members of the church. They never come through the process of being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and upon their own. We didn't take them into the church. What have we got? A bunch of flat top haircuts, wicked, running out on the street yard just like the rest of the world. Women with bobbed hair, wearing makeup, and everything else.
Amen. Trying
to pattern out the world.
Yes.
We're still going back to the spiritual thing.
Amen.
We have our great booths and our great big churches and trying to be bigger than the other fellow and showing the other fellow over, working for our organizations, denominations. What have we got? We're hatching out a bunch of high-bred people instead of born again children of God. That's right. High-bred. One of the religions of the world. A high-bred can never cross himself again. When a mule is ever born, the mule cannot be nothing else but a mule.
Yes.
That's all he is. He's born. He's a mule. He's a half-breed. He's between a horse and a mule. He don't know who his papa is, who his mom is, where he comes from, or where he's going. He's just ignorant as he can be. He has got no gentleness to him. You can talk to him and just stick his ears out and nicker. With his big ears out. Sometimes I get around a preacher, a loud and new, that knows more about God than a hot pot knows about a gypsy knife. Stick your ears out and say, well, the James of miracles is fast. There's one that say, he's a hybrid.
Yeah.
He might belong to a Pentecostal organization. That might belong to any other organization. But a born again man, woman, everything I love is a hybrid horse. Or not a hybrid horse, a real general pedigree horse. What I like is a pedigree Pentecostal experience. One who knows where they come from, knows what got them holding them, and knows where they were born. With a spirit of gentleness, sweetness, and Holy Spirit. Son of tolerance and fellowship, reach across the line and shake hands with any brother. Take him in. He's a brother citizen of the same kingdom. No matter how he was baptized or sprinkled or poured or what he did, he threw his head or jumped up and down or whatever he got, he's a brother anyhow. As long as he got the Holy Ghost, he's your brother. And a real pedigree, born again, Pentecostal man and woman, believe that with all your heart. Stretches out their bound. Serving. No, these twin revivals, one brings forth a man that wants to be intellectual, wants to be in school. They're trying to dodge that issue of new birth. The church is trying to dodge it. Today we take the people in for water baptism, put them in the church for water baptism. You might put them in the church for water baptism, but you'll never put them into Christ for water baptism. You've got to be born in there by the Spirit.
Amen.
That's right. Now, God said, I'll say again, I don't care what kind of a birth it is, any birth is a mess. If it's in a pig pen, or if it's in a corn shop, or if it's in a beef decorating hospital room, it's a mess. And so is the new birth a mess. It'll make you do things that you never thought you would do. It'll make you weep, bawl, cry, and raise up your hands and turn all kinds of shines and everything else. And you'll act just straight to the poor, starchy, self-styled group. But you don't care as long as you get birth out of it. You've got a new born. Being born again, coming into new birth. Coming to a place where we're trying to stop the issue, but taking in members. Trying to beat this other fellow. Our organization's growing higher than the other. If this don't count, it's nothing. It's not a thing. It's the kingdom of God is what counts.
Yes.
We're all working for one place. I belong to the Baptist Church and the Assemblies or the Oneness and the Threeness and the Fiveness or whatever it was. We want to be working for one principle. That's for our Heavenly Father. To get born again children into that kingdom up there. Outside of that, we're working in vain. We're trying to do something for a man-made institution that'll fall as sure as 2 2's is 4. Got to fall, it's a man.
Yeah.
That's the bone. Only God thinks things. Has nothing against them. That's fine and dandy. But when we draw those barriers that we cannot fellowship with the other fellow, that's when it gets bad. I've been given out and told that I dislike organizations. I like the people in the organization. But that is organization defined as long as you don't draw a spot and say, we believe this and you the rest of you stay away from it and we'll not cooperate with that businessman's group or anything as long as they you like the way it's there. They'll be an organization. When they get to be an organization, I'm getting away from them. That's exactly right. I don't believe in this stuff. I believe that we're brothers and have fellowship and power and leading of the Spirit.
Yes.
That's exactly what I like about it. A mixed colleges. They had a law. They went to Mount Sinai and got a law so they could all have doctor's degrees, PhD and LLD, USDs, and all kinds of things. And so the first thing you know, it got them in trouble. Now, the law served its purpose. It was all right in its day. The law did all right in its day. It served its purpose. So has the denomination done all right. It's all right in its purpose. But remember, the law measures up them to the promised land. Joshua took them over. Grace, not the law. And neither will the denomination, any denomination, ever take the church of God over. It'll be the grace of God that shed abroad in our hearts by the fellowship of the Holy Ghost that will take us to the promised land, into the fullness of God's blessing. Certainly it is. They make a fatal mistake when they do those things. It served its purpose very well. But the time come when it wasn't no good no more. God let it die out so he could take grace and take them across and physically place us into the places of the promised land. All the grace of God, whatever, prophets, teachers, so forth. Now the denomination can't do that. They'll have a bunch of presbyters to lay hands on it, won't be no more than throwing water on them. It's got to take the Holy Ghost separate me, Paul and Barnabas. It takes the Holy Ghost, you have to separate a man and woman in places where they're physically gone. In Christ.
Hallelujah.
That's true. Now, we find out they journeyed from there then to Kadesh-Barnea. Kadesh-Barnea, they made the most fatal mistake they ever did make. Israel made a real mistake once you come to Kadesh-Barnea. Well, they had, then they had their 12 different heads, 12 different groups of them. And they sent them up to the promised land to spy out to see what they could get, any information from the inside. When they come back, we find out that 10 of the groups said it's impossible to take it. We just can't do it. It's too much of a job. We're a little bitty fellows up the side of the land. We look like grasshoppers.
Yeah.
There was two that had evidence. They'd been somewhere. When they come back, they had the fruits of the land. They come back to know that they had been over and brought back the evidence that it was a good land. Well, that's about the way we get it out of a revival, about two in the seven. It's just about like getting in the cake. About two out of a good seven. And the first thing those Joshua and Caleb come back with the evidence that it was a good land. They had evidence, but that wasn't all the evidence. They just had one evidence. That's what the Pentecostals got. When they crossed over the land into the wilderness, over the Red Sea, and found their enemies dead, they began speaking in tongues as an evidence that they'd been over there. They know there was something good. They know there was a land somewhere that was beyond anything we reached yet. That's right, but that's not all the things. We settled out on that, went to speak on that.
Right.
God said, if there be one among you to come in and speak with tongues, and the other one come in, they'll say, well, they're all mad. But if one will prophesy and reveal the secrets of the heart, then they'll fall down and say, surely God is with you. Paul said that. Why will we stop on one evidence of speaking in tongues being the Holy Ghost? Which is all right, that's true. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. But just look at the other things going in there.
Amen.
But as soon as we did it, we had to denominate ourselves to keep the others out, build up a fence around our coconut tree that nobody else would lean off of this but us. That's the reason the rest of them couldn't get anywhere. It's our own selfish ideas instead of letting the Holy Spirit lead us all out. And we've waited for 4 years and nothing's happened.
Yes, amen.
Just still staying in the same place, same old thing. Oh my, we find out that they made a fatal mistake. And they raised up a big bunch of fires. That's what we had, a big bunch of fires. One said, bless God, I'm the sinless. You all want this, don't you? I don't do it. It's your own church of God. We got it. Church of God, bless God, we're the ones that got it. We got the prophets I've made. The one that says we got it because we baptized by it. Hallelujah. A bunch of fires. God says, you step out here, you die.
Amen.
The Bible said when Satan does, will all the old fighters hide out.
Yes, amen. Hallelujah.
You let them say like that, will all the old fighters hide out. The Bible says so. Old fighters, fight over your organization boundaries. Don't you have no fellowship with that group? That's further truth. And this is story so. As long as you got that in your head, you can just text right down the mountain and starve to death. Did you ever think of all those people done for 40 years? Not even 40 days, the way God kept them there 40 years. That's how it was long time ago. I believe that someone speaking of the coming of the Lord Jesus, I believe it's past you. I believe it's because of the church, the reason it's past you. Jesus said so. As it was in the days of Noah, told it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, God was long suffering, not willing that any should perish. He waited for the people to come in, and today he's waiting for the church to get together. I know it's not popular. It's not popular for most people. But brother, it's the message of the hour to come together. Something has to move together. We have to be one church of the living God. Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, London, Green, and Fire, all of us together.
Organization is part of God's program. I'm not Pentecostal standing here before. If I did, I'd be a hypocrite.
around me because they have not drawn down a stake and say, this organization or that organization, they stretch the line far enough so they can take it all. And that's the reason I'm proud of them today because they're in the very spot that I believe is right.
Yes,
it was just in the assemblies of God, to the church of God, to the four square, to the PHAT, PHW, United. Everybody, whosoever will let him come, that he might drink of the waters, the waters of God's grace. No matter if you're out for 1 month, 10 months, 2 months, 3 months, or how many months you've got in the old donkey. Come on, don't make any difference. Let's go and try to be true for all of the church at this house. That's where they come together. That's the reason I'm part of the business man around. Because in that, I can speak to all of them and get my message over to them. To let them know that this is the thing I believe in. I believe this business man can't do all of it. They got to be a part of it. They can be an example of what God can do when men can come together and break their denominational barriers. I believe that these men here you see now, these younger fellows, that are these groups here, it's the fruit of sons of the old fathers. But these fellows are not fathers. The new group wasn't fathers. You had all the old fathers die off. When the old fathers died off, he took their sons and raised up among them Joshua and sent them over to the four promises. I believe that that's what we're seeing today. I believe that's what this Christian businessman organization is doing. God has used it mightily, and you'll continue to do it as long as you keep that denominational barriers broke down. They don't tell you what church is wrong to, wrong to anything you want to, but they're trying to get you. Get away from the old spider disposition. Back to where these roomy put around front any brother. These Methodist, Presbyterians, Baptists, whether it's Sweetest or whatever he is, put around front any brother. Right by who loves you. Hey, as long as we keep that attitude, God's going to reap one of these days. I'll be ready to speak now. You've been on this mountain of organization 40 years. Let's move upward. Let's move out of here.
Yeah,
ministers, my ministering brother out there, don't you think we've been on this mountain long enough? Don't you think we've busted and passed and carried on and stewed over our organization boundaries long enough? Let's get off of this mountain and move up to this mountain plan. God's going up. It's the fence of land. God's told him, touch the fence of land. All of your fighters is gone now.
Yeah.
Put your sword back in its sheath. Don't fight. Listen, man. Don't you make the same mistake your father's in or you be here 40 years, too. Deal with a Christian men's organization and so forth, or Christian men's unit. If you ever organize it, you'll stick right here another 40 years. But it's time that God is calling his church to move up. I believe that. I know that. He said, now, as you go by Mount Sierra, now there is your denominational brother, Esau, sitting up there. A good Presbyterian, Methodist, or Baptist. Now, don't bother him. Don't fuss at him. Just try and find out how you do that. Walk that on. But you've been walking, getting and shaking and telling you I've got nothing. Right. Remember, he's got just what God gives him. He can have the same revival you did. Right. He stopped. He told Joshua, see that you got gold well not there now, because I give that to Esau. That's all he's supposed to know. That's all he knows about.
That's
the only thing he knows is his denomination. Well, we are sure so. We are. That's all he knows. That's all God did him. Just pass on by now. Don't go to fuss and fight with him. Just pass by quietly. But look in here, Jacob, you Pentecostal Jacob, you really born again and got the experience and led by the Holy Ghost. Don't go to fuss with it. But the Pentecostal Jacob has the full promise down in the land. The thing is ready to happen. God said you smoke the whole thing and put it in the promised land. Put the fullness of the Spirit ever operation. Just the other morning that meeting, including myself as my ministry is a spiritual ministry as I'm not much of a preacher. But notice, in those lines when he talked about Charles Price, when him dying there, Brother Sakarin, prophesying that these things come to pass, oh, my spirit rose up within him. He said, that's it. If they could only see him,
yeah.
That's it. We're ready to go up and take the land. Remember what he said about hospitals and so forth? We're ready to do it.
Yeah.
When you son who the old fighters get together, oh, you ministers, you brethren, you're seeing me. Break down those denominational barriers. We can't get a Pentecostal revival.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Revival! The Holy Spirit falling back in the church and being led by the Holy Ghost. God's ready to do it. Go up and possess the land. believers, they don't want to come, that's all right. That's all right. Go ahead. How do you do, brother? Pass on by. He's a borderline believer. That's all he knows, is to stay on the borderline. That's what a lot of people are. They all know is their denomination. I've gone to this. I've gone to that. I asked a woman one time to see a Christian. She said, I'll give you to understand I burn a candle every night. That's what that had to do with English Christianity. Another man says that I'm an American. Sure I am. That's the more to do with it. I'll all beat the side saddle. That's no more to do with it but a side saddle at all. Why? America don't mean Christianity. Christianity is a born-again experience. But that's just the whole thing. Fellowship and love and tolerance and the Holy Spirit takes over the church and does great things. Oh, sure. Yes, sir. I thought about something to be around. I thought I'm sure I haven't found out already.
The organization, but when you need to put a common, it doesn't have to be added, and it's a tree. Thank you.